Green Country Gardener program right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. Good morning, good morning, good morning. The sound of that banjo ringing is Larry's brother, and we've got Larry's brother's brother, Larry. Larry Glass is with us. I'm Tom Davis. I got you and Daryl mixed up again. Yes, indeed. Time for the Green Country Gardener program. And, of course, your calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. How you doing, Lawrence?
Fine. Pretty good.
Yeah. Golly. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Well, it's that time of year when ain't not a lot going on.
Yeah.
Okay, end of show.
No. Yeah, you know. Well, it's been cold, and yesterday we had sun and flurries at the same time. So
I saw that.
Yeah.
But would you call that a slurry?
Yeah.
I guess so. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that was really unusual.
I'm just going to leave it at that because all I can tell you is it was cold upstairs and not as cold downstairs. So when it was cold upstairs, the raindrops turned to snowflakes. By the time they got downstairs, they didn't last long.
Anyway, gardening. What are we doing in the garden this week? Well, watch your watering, which hasn't been much of a problem.
No.
It's been a while since we've had some noticeable precipitation.
We got it coming.
This week, huh? Next week? I see there's some verbiage on the forecast.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we want to make sure that our plants are not stressed out in the winter. And one plant that would be a good indicator of being a little bit too dry are the boxwoods.
Okay.
When they turn, especially the Japanese boxwoods, when they turn that characteristic bronzy sort of color, they probably use just a little bit of water.
Yeah.
But they're a very resilient plant to a point. If they are water stressed, and it does get extraordinarily cold, it causes some dieback, maybe even some death to the plants. So, so you want to make sure your plants are pretty well watered this time of year, and also a good way to prevent that from, you know, the dryness from happening is to make sure you have a good layer of mulch on the surface. It also helps insulate the root system from the cold, because if we do have a zinger come through. A zinger is an anomalous weather pattern, be it hot or cold. If one heat this time of year, right? But, but anyway, if we do have one of those, it can cause some problems. Back when a while ago we had a really really dry spell, and then it got cold, and people actually did lose some of their boxwoods, with the exception of the ones that are close to the downspouts of the house, and they got that little bit of extra water from the dew that ran off and. Kept the ground fairly moist and all that. So that was a good case in point back then of making sure your plants are watered adequately throughout the winter. So anyway, watering is an issue, and for the most part, it's not much of a problem right now. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Pruning is what's on people's minds right now. Cutting back stuff.
Yep.
Look up at your trees. I've got some trees at home that need some attention. But they're up there. either hire it done, perhaps, or get a one of those pole saws and go after it, too. But anyway, so pruning is one thing that we need to look out for on your plants and all that. And there's certain ways you want to prune your plants.
Okay.
Actually, there's a proper way.
Proper pruning.
There's a proper way to do everything, actually.
Yes, there is.
And pruning is one of them. And you need to evaluate the condition of the branch on which you're pruning and see if that branch is really necessary instead of cutting it to stubble to a point where there's nothing left but a little coat rack, maybe. You might want to cut it back all the way to the main stem of the tree. And I see this all the time is people cut that stuff back and they leave a, hook, a little bit of a stump on there. Well, you don't want that.
No, you don't.
You want to cut it pretty much flush with the existing trunk or branch or whatever you're cutting it from when you do cut it off. Don't leave a stub. That just invites diseases and insects and things, so make sure to cut that back too. If you do a fairly large pruning on something, you might want to use a little bit of pruning paint, perhaps, It doesn't. It's not totally necessary, but it kind of makes you feel good. Especially the small ones, you don't worry about too much. So fruit trees also, we'll get into that a little bit. It's kind of time to do some pruning on those also. And in a couple of weeks, fruit trees would really be time to do some dormant oil spraying. But it's too early for that right now. So anyway, so pruning is important. And don't forget your shrubs too. Some are getting a little bit too large. It's kind of the dead of winter. I don't really like to do a heavy pruning on shrubs, especially say boxwoods or dwarf yoponhalles, things like that, because they suffer a bit of appearance when it happens, and it takes a while for it to spring out again in the spring. You just have to look at these ugly little stubs for a while. That's kind of why I like to do it in the middle of February, because it's not too far from then is when the shrubs begin to leaf out and grow again. So right now, I wouldn't do any heavy pruning on the shrubs. Also, I wouldn't cut back the ornamental grasses right now. They need that little extra protection. We're still due for some of the coldest weather we have during the year. At least for another another month, perhaps, of the possibility of extraordinary cold weather. So you want to leave the grass on your ornamental grasses. Well, that's why you planted them, you know. and save the cutback until it gets more or less consistently warm to the point where we're not going to get really, really cold. Uncomfortably cold, maybe, but not deadly cold, if you will.
Yikes!
And actually, I find the best way to cut the back is with a Sawzall.
Okay.
When the time does come. A weed eater kind of struggles with them. But a Sawzall does a pretty good job. Cutting off those ornamental grasses. Your pampas grass, your maiden grass, your erianthus, and these other kind of grasses too. So anyway, that's happening a little bit later on right now. Good time of year for doing some planning. I've got a few compositions on the drawing board right now. Great time to get planning on it and develop a budget, find out what's going on with that.
You gotcha.
So we can come out and measure your property and come up with a landscape plan.
There you go.
It's fairly comprehensive, front yard and backyard, as far as what kind of shrubs to use and all that, and rather detailed too. So you might give us a shout and we can come out and get that done.
Got it.
So another thing to do right now is to consider mulching. It's a good time of year to buy some mulch, too.
It is.
A lot of times you can find it on special, or we can deliver it out there to you also, no charge. So you might consider getting some mulch around your property. And it does help the appearance of your beds, too. They might look a little tired right now. So a bit of mulch would help. And prior to putting on the new mulch, you might want to rake out the leaves and other debris that might be in the beds, just so they look nice and tidy when it comes time for spring to come around, too. So watering, pruning, planting, and mulching, probably the big events that are happening right now in the garden. So that leads us, we talked briefly about what to do with your fruit trees, and right now pruning is the only thing you really want to do in your fruit trees. You want to wait to do your spraying until first of February, middle of February on that. Primarily on our peach trees, especially to combat the peach leaf curls, you want to put a fungicide down at the appropriate time, and that typically happens before or as the weather starts to moderate a little bit in February. So right now, you might want to acquire the material. Make sure the sprayer is working too. And there are a lot of corroded sprayers out there. You get going on it, you get it all ready to go, you pump it up and everything, nothing comes out.
Gotta get it clean.
I've run into that myself.
But you have.
So you might want to go ahead and consider if you haven't maintained your sprayer to perhaps take it apart and clean it up real good, because they're really kind of delicate instruments and they need just a little bit of maintenance, and some people forget to do that. And I just use soapy water to clean them out real good. You don't have to use harsh chemicals like carburetor cleaner in here. Just so, and actually I find I have to dismantle the spray nozzle itself.
Gotcha.
And clean that out real good too. Just warm soapy water does a very good job. A lot of the chemicals have a kind of a soap base to them anyway, and that gets kind of dried up if you don't rinse it out thoroughly. So that'll make it easier when the time comes to, mm-hmm. to do your spraying, is to get your equipment up to par and get it cleaned up and ready to go.
There you go.
So spraying right now, it's about 2 weeks away or so, 2 or 3 weeks, depending on the weather. So you might want to make sure your spray equipment is in good shape.
Very good.
Cool. Okay. Check the gaskets on it, too, and all that.
Yeah, you don't want to have kind of unexpected little leaks.
Yeah, it's just a pain in the neck. You're all pumped up about getting this done.
All of a sudden, whoa!
And then all of a sudden, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's put in the garage and go
on to something.
They'll be all right. Just don't worry about it. No, that your fruit trees, especially your peach trees, do need a little bit of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the form of spraying. Now, as far as what the spray with is concerned, we can talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
But I like to use the neem oil for a dormant oil application, and just copper fungicide for the peach leaf curl and other overwintering diseases mm-hmm. that can cause some problems with your fruits.
There you go.
Cool.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to be right back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program and your phone calls at 1-800-749-5936. We'll be back after this one-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. One of our greatest advantages is that we do know people. We are local. Yes, we've got corporate buying power and corporate leverage, but you know, we're going to be at the local grocery store. We're going to be at the local ball games. We live here. We've got kids in school here. You know, we're going to see you again. We are here to find out what people's needs are. We're here to take care of their needs and to do it at a competitive price. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 Nowata Road. United Reynolds.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny
skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Good morning. It's 8:21. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program. Phone lines open, toll free, 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, we were talking about our fruit trees,
yep.
and everything. Where are we now on the agenda?
On the agenda, we're going to talk a little bit about vegetable gardening.
You got to get those vegetable maters going, huh?
People have plenty of tomato seeds right now.
I bet they do.
So you might consider chopping and finding the seeds that you want.
Where could we shop to find them?
I can't imagine. There are all kinds of places. Everybody's got seeds all over the place. So you might want to decide what kind. I think I'm going to grow me some Sweet 100s this year.
Sweet 100. You did the beef eaters last year, didn't you? A couple of years ago.
I really don't know what I planted last
big
year.
Big ones is all I remember.
No. What happens is people go through the tomato trays.
Yeah.
And they look at the plant, and they don't put it back in the right place.
I gotcha.
And we have what we call orphans.
Oh.
So I had orphans this year.
Oh, I see.
I don't know what the variety was, but they were really good.
They were really good.
So, uh-huh. So we need to have an orphan tomato patch, really.
All shapes, all sizes, all yummy.
Anyway, the vegetable garden, co-crops, your... Uh-huh. broccoli and all that will be in a couple of weeks or so.
Uh-huh.
Great. It'll be time to plant tomatoes, onions, then also, and radishes all the time. You can plant radishes anytime.
Yes.
They grow in like 3 days, and you have radishes in maybe 3.5 days. No, they're very fast to develop. Uh-huh. So it'll be time to plant that pretty soon, too.
Yep.
Probably most importantly is something I always talk about. That's ground preparation.
Yes, got to work that dirt.
If you have a warm season vegetable garden, you might consider just turning the soil over and opening it up.
Okay.
And this freezing and thawing does a whole lot for your soil structure, because it kind of breaks up that clay and creates this real fine soil just in time for the rain to come in and pack it down again. But anyway, it does an awful lot of good for your soil to open it up. And we said that back in October. A good farmer, after a freeze, will go in and just plow it up and leave it open. And anyway, that's good for that, too. Your tomatoes, if they didn't do very well, last year was a pretty good year for tomatoes. The weather-wise, was pretty good. You guys did a good job with the weather. However, that's not always the case.
No, it's not. We hear about it, too.
And as far as the environment is concerned, this is a good place to grow tomatoes. In other words, it's not too hot or cold or whatever. They can tolerate the weather conditions we have here. And the primary factor in the variability and quality of tomatoes is the quality of the soil. And if you did not have any good luck, if you had some blossom end rot, and if you had poor production, you might consider maybe having your soil checked out. Great time for that, too. They're not so busy on doing that this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get some results back and tell you exactly what to do with your soil. Now, tomatoes like a pH of about 6.5. And our soil here typically is around 7, even 7 plus in some cases. So you might want to have that checked out just to make sure. If you're not having good luck with your tomatoes, check it out and see. Now, what I like to do is add some Epsom salts to the soil every year when I plant the tomatoes, and some gypsum. The gypsum will provide, it doesn't really affect the pH that much, but anyway, gypsum does provide some elemental calcium to the soil. Gypsum, the chemical formula for gypsum is CaSO42H2O. So it's got calcium and sulfur in it, so it does help. They kind of balance each other out as far as the pH is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give you some elemental calcium that the plants can utilize to help enforce or the cell walls on them.
Mm-hmm.
The cell walls are made of primarily of calcium pectate, and that they need that calcium. And it does help stop blossom end rot if they have the materials which to make good cell walls.
Need some strength.
Well, what is this, a science lesson or what? Anyway.
It's okay. I'm learning things.
Okay, cool. And also, pH is very important, too. The Epsom salt gives you sulfur. Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate. And the plant uses the magnesium to manufacture chlorophyll and to help in photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
And the sulfur helps keep the soil pH down to where it should be. So all these elements work together to give kind of tomatoes what they really need.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Very good.
Very, very simple. Just,
for you?
You really can't over-apply gypsum.
Uh-huh.
And you can over-apply the Epsom salts, so be careful how much you put on there. We do have Epsom salts at the nursery in a bag that's sold as magnesium sulfate.
Okay.
And that tells you kind of how much to put on there.
So follow directions.
Yeah, but that is also variable depending on your existing soil pH. So you have to have this knowledge base prior to putting on the materials.
How do we test the pH? How do we know where it is?
Well, they have a little simple litmus kits that you can do yourself.
Put your little stick in the ground and pull it out and see what color it is? Is that what we do?
Essentially, yes. This is you can... they also have electronic pH meters also that they're pretty cool. You get a pretty good idea where you stand on your pH, if that's concerned. But typically, you can anticipate a neutral to slightly alkaline soil in our soil here because our parent material is primarily limestone.
Your yard.
CaCO3, calcium carbonate, and that does tend to raise the pH a little bit. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, my yard's like, it's terrible. But anyway... Yeah, I know. Well, I had to build raised bed just so I can have some plants.
There you go.
It's just awful. We bought our fruit trees when wife and I went on our 25th wedding anniversary. We bought fruit trees. And we also booked a cruise for that. And the fruit trees came like the day before we had to leave.
Oh.
So, yes.
You didn't get a moment's rest. You had to put those things in the ground.
No, no. I had to dug a hole in the ground, and all I got was clang. So I was out there with a pick and a rock bar to get a hole big enough to plant.
Oh, my gosh.
But the plum trees have done very well.
They have. You've got the world-famous plum jelly.
Yeah, we've had some excellent, and we're anticipating a good year this year. Last year they froze out, but this year we'll hopefully have a good year.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
So they had a year of rest, if you will. So we got those in the ground, and actually they survived, except for one. The cherry trees and the fruit trees, they all made it. So
right.
That was quite a thrill.
Always an adventure out there.
You bet. So anyway, the point I'm making for your vegetable garden is now's the time to get your information, your base information, time to do some planning of what kind of vegetables you might want to have, tomatoes and okra, whatever. So when the time comes to do that, all that base information is done. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about altering your soil pH or too much about doing ground prep. If you do it right now, if you plan ahead, mm-hmm. It makes it so much easier when the time comes. It's so much less of a burden, because you have other things in the garden you might want to be doing too. And also, kids are getting out of school pretty soon, and you want to do stuff with them and all that. So it's a busy time.
Yeah. Preparation works best.
Exactly.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in just a little bit. It is 8:30 right here on the Green Country Gardener program, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
January is the month to shop Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City in Independence, for military and student discounts. Check out the sharp 2021 Chevrolet Trax. MSRP is $23,850, but at Roman's, you pay $19,900. Looking for a pre-owned Silverado? Roman's has more than 20 with thousands in savings. Special discounts this month for all military, active, and retired, as well as students. Brand new or pre-owned, shop the huge selection online or stop by 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, your Silverado City.
Pages True Value in Dewey has a sale going on that you just can't pass up. Through January 24th, 2021, you can get great bargains like Sterilite 18-gallon storage totes in blue, Hazelwood, or Lilac for just $5.49 each. Save $40 on a 30,000 BTU tank top propane heater, just $49.99. And be sure to pick up 12-ounce size Great Stuff Gap and Cracks sealant or Big Gap foam sealant, two cans for $7. Your choice. Shop the New Year sale at Peter's True Value in Dewey and save.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Oh, man.
Like 2 pallets out of this. That's a lot of blocks.
All righty. Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. I'm finding out that, you know, Larry can really rock it. What was it, 4 tons of rocks you were dealing with over the weekend?
You bet.
Oh,
yeah,
my
that was
goodness
quite a deal.
Man.
Those paver blocks are heavy.
Yeah, rocking and rolling.
Yeah, I love them, too.
You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Program, and your calls are welcome if you have a question or comment. 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we were talking about vegetable gardens a little bit ago.
Vegetable gardens. We got a caller. Sounds like they have a caller.
Let's see if we can do this right offhand. Hi, good morning. You're on the air with the Green Country Gardener. Your question or your comment, please.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi.
We're kind of out of Roundup season, and I read about pouring boiling water on weeds to kill them. A, does that really work? And B, if they're in or near on the edge of dormant Bermuda, does it impact Bermuda if you pour boiling water on them?
Yes. Yeah, boiling water has no barriers. So you will definitely damage your Bermuda grass putting boiling water on it.
Okay.
So right now, this time of year, you wait till it warms up a little bit, and you can put a broadleaf weed control on the weeds. And that works rather well during a warm spell. I don't think we're going to get that this week, though. Well, I don't know. What's it going to be, 50-something?
We're going to have 57 on Monday, so if you want to call that warm, Wednesday, 54, and 46 on Tuesday.
The 50s is warm enough for a post-emergent broadleaf weed control, but it's still a little chilly for Roundup to work.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call. And you can be on with the Green Country Gardener Program at 1-800-749-5936.
Speaking of boiling water.
Yes.
A while ago, we planted, this is a long time ago, planted a blue spruce for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
For a nice plant, specimen plant, really, really nice. And 2 days later, they called it was dead.
What happened?
They let the hose out in the heat.
Boy, we talked about that last summer.
And it's hot. I need to water this thing. It's hot. Well, you turn on, they laid the hose on the ground, open up the faucet, and here's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The water is about 200 and some degrees.
Take your skin off it that hot.
No, trees.
What do you think it's going to do to the tree?
Yeah, the trees, they don't die that quickly by themselves.
No, they needed some help.
They needed a little bit of help for that to
happen. Suicide, that's what that was.
And I quizzed her about it, and of course it was our fault the thing died, so we replaced it. And I told her, do not water in the afternoon, water only in the morning.
Yes, when the hose is cool,
and now,
it's all
I learned
the
water. My lesson, that was 30-some years ago.
Oh.
And I learned my lesson when I tell people to water the trees and things, water them in the morning.
Yes.
Well, why is that? Well, it's just when they like it better.
Yeah. We're not going to go into detail here.
Not going to go into detail. Just works. Water. Be sure to water in the morning on the way to work or something, but don't do it in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it goes back to the boiling thing. If you get hot water through a hose, that'll kill a plant in 2 days.
Yeah, it will.
It'll wipe out. You'll have some dead spots in your Bermuda grass in the spring. So anyway. So there are good controls, and Roundup is like a lot of things. You have to use it properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say this: if they made Roundup, if they put some degree of stink in it, people would be more careful with it.
Yeah, they would.
Because really, right now it's just odorless. But some of these chemicals in the past, they just smelled horrible.
You knew where it was.
You knew where it was, yeah. And
you knew what it was.
The Roundup doesn't have that in it. But if they put some kind of real stinky stuff in it, I think people would be more careful with it. Because I don't want that on me. Ugh.
Yeah.
But it when it comes out of the bottle, it's kind of like soap. And you say, well, it's harmless, But it apparently does cause some problems if you use it unwisely. It's like anything else. I mean, you could die of eating cupcakes.
I could. I know that.
So like all things, like all chemicals, you have to follow the directions very carefully and use it properly. Don't overuse it. Be sure to mix it up properly. And if you have doubts about how to mix it, you can get these with the hose and sprayers that pre-mix it as it comes out of the hose. And the little spray bottles. Mm-hmm. If you just have a few weeds here and there, you might consider getting one of the premix in the spray bottles, and it takes care of the mixing problem and all that, and the storage problem and everything else, and gets it done rather quickly without having to do all the science.
Leave the math to the bottom.
Exactly. So, for instance, in my yard, I just have a few little weeds here and there, and I'll just go out with a spray bottle and zing them. Pretty good, yeah.
Yep.
And pick a time of day when it's not windy.
Yeah, that helps.
And also pick a time when it's relatively warm, because these have to be transmitted through the plant for it to work. Mm-hmm. And the vascular system of the plant, the activity slows down significantly when it's cold, just like anything else. And it becomes less and less effective the cooler it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind also that the temperature and so on with these plants, mm-hmm. and your neighbor's plants too. Like yesterday would not have been a good day to spray for a week.
No, no.
You'd wipe out everything down. So anyway, in the lawn, dethatching in about 4 weeks in your lawn, and people are having trouble with moles.
Yeah. They do.
I went to her yard yesterday. Her yard was just like a mountain range.
Mm-hmm.
Next door was fine. No moles at all. Why her yard has all the moles, it's difficult to say why. Mm-hmm. And it might have something to do with the insect population in the soil.
It could.
Grub worms and whatnot,
yeah.
too. And the people had a really nice looking yard, like they had a lawn service or something that did their maintenance for them. And they probably have a grub worm application on that. And the moles are insectivores. They like insects. They also like earthworms too.
Yeah.
So food for thought on that. Moles are difficult to control because they are mammals and they do get about, if you will.
Yeah, they do.
And because of that, they're hard to control.
Yeah.
So me, I just keep my lawn well fertilized and I really don't have much of a problem with them. So.
But they're about the darn ugliest things, too.
Well, they are. They're not an overly attractive animal.
Of course, no.
Neither am I, but nonetheless.
No, when they come up, you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
You don't surface now. Come
yeah.
on.
So you might want to think about, this is a good thing to do, maybe, is to take a square foot of soil and just dig it up.
Uh-huh.
And see what's going on down below the surface and see if you have some grub worms. If you have, say, more than 10 grub worms or, anywhere from 5 to 10 plus grub worms in a square foot area, you might have what is called an infestation of grub worms. And if that's the case, you probably need to take some action on that.
Now, grub worms are kind of like a grayish or something like that.
They're they look like a kind of a C-shaped, a whitish colored insect. Yeah,
about the size of your thumb, curled up.
Depending on your thumb, yes, yeah. I guess. So.
But
they're not that big. But anyway, and the moles just feast on these little things, and they tunnel through, just blindly go through the soil until they come across one. And
right
moles
there.
Typically have a main highway they follow, if you will, and then they branch off from that. It's a very efficient use of the digging energy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can control them on that main highway, if you will, either with traps, perhaps, or the poison worms and things. That'll work too. There's several ways to control them.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had some pretty good luck controlling them with milorganite fertilizer. I'm not saying it'll work for everybody, but it works for me.
But they don't like it, and they go away.
They don't like it, so they kind of stay away. Castor oil is another one. You can get a granular form of castor oil, which keeps them away.
That'll keep me away.
It makes their nose a little bit on the itchy side, and they kind of stay away. It irritates them, so they leave. So that's one way to do it. You get rid of them, they go running down the road to a field somewhere, maybe, instead of out in your yard. So moles are a tough one to get rid of, and you really have to, you sort of have to try different things. Mm-hmm. Some people have good luck with these electronic things that buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I go to people's yards, and you just, a couple of minutes later,
it has to drive you crazy too, a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, and the noise, they say that they don't like that noise,
yeah.
but they tend to go away too. So you have to try several different methodologies, the one which works the best for you.
Okay, mole remover.
Yeah, bulldozer.
We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more useful information here on the Green Country Gardener program, along with a little bit of silliness. 1-800-749-5936 is our number. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7-gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5-inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Were you born from 1945 to 1965? People born during these years are 5 times more likely to have hepatitis C, but most people don't know they are infected. So even if you try to eat right, exercise, and take care of yourself, you can still have hepatitis C, a serious liver disease that often has no symptoms. In fact, people can live with hepatitis C for decades without feeling or looking sick. But over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage, liver failure, or even liver cancer. Getting tested is the only way to know if you're infected with hepatitis C. That's why the CDC recommends everyone born from 1945 to 1965 get a blood test for hepatitis C. Treatments are available that can cure this disease. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey Del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, and KFC, all in Bartlesville. CV's in Dewey and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
It's 8:45, Green Country Gardener Program. Phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass is our expert here. I think we removed all the moles we can remove.
I should hope so.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, and on your shrubs this week, kind of the same with trees and all that, watering, pruning, planting, and transplanting.
Mm-hmm.
Great time to transplant things.
Oh, yeah.
If you have a shrub that just kind of want to move, good time to do that right now. Move your roses or something, too. Mm-hmm. So while they're kind of dormant, and the trees, for instance, can be relocated now, if you've got the muscle to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They get pretty big and really hard to move when they get older.
How big a tree are you?
So that can be done at this point, too. Uh-huh. So transplanting things. Kind of the same with roses. Pruning, mulching, transplanting. Consider getting some new roses, too. The rosette disease is still out there. It's a little bit of a problem. It seems to be getting somewhat smaller than it was.
Good.
The cool weather. Now, the rosette disease is spread by mites.
Mites like
really warm environments. Mm-hmm. Typically around pavement, the west side of the house, someplace like that.
Bingo.
You're going to have problems with the rosettes, which is carried by a mite, an airborne mite. And they like it kind of warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still lucky enough to have some knockouts on the north side of my house without any problems. They wiped out my home run rose, which I kind of didn't like. It was an okay rose. It bloomed when it wanted to.
Yeah, you're temperamental, what you're saying.
Yeah, really. But anyway, it knocked him out. Uh-huh. And Julia's got a few problems, but I think she's going to pull through okay.
Good.
But anyway, so if you want some roses, pick a place with more or less in the open
uh-huh.
or shielded from the hot afternoon sun,
mm-hmm.
and you probably have better luck with them. Mite control is another way to perhaps keep them under control. There are several ways to control mites with pyrethrins or something. So if you maintain a spray program, chances are you won't have much of a problem with that. But they can get to be a bit of a problem. And some of these newer roses, the knockouts and the drift roses and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
they're very low maintenance plants, so we tend to ignore them and neglect them, and that's how that happens. So anyway, so roses right now, just a little bit of pruning and mulching. That's about it. And if it gets a little on the dry side, maybe some water just to help them along too.
But
if you do have a grafted type rose, you might consider putting a mound of dirt over the graft to shield the graft from the cold. It can still get kind of cold here. So
it can.
We've had some pipe busting cold weather in the past, and it doesn't mean we're not going to have it later on. So
here we go. We got a call here on line 14. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
I was wondering, when is the right time to buy ranunculus?
To buy what now?
Ranunculus.
Ranunculus?
Mm-hmm.
Ranunculus, it can get it in a bulb form, or you can get it in a perennial plant form. It's, for the bulbs, it's probably past time for that, really. But if you have some ranunculus bulbs, you can plant them at this point.
But where can I buy them?
They're getting kind of hard to find anymore. We don't have them, and I don't know where to get them, actually.
Well, they're so beautiful in my garden. I got them 3 years ago, but I haven't been able to find any more.
Yeah.
Supply's been pretty tight.
Well, things sort of go on a treadmill, and they come into vogue, and they sort of, and other things kind of take their place. So give it some time. Maybe they'll come back again.
I hope so.
It's
an interesting plant, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. All righty, and if you want to be on the air today, 1-800-749-5936.
Yeah. These plants, in order to produce them, there's these big, massive farms all over the world. And they take a cue from the wholesalers, distributors and all that, and what's hot and all that, and what's going to be growing. And golly, you don't want to grow something that nobody wants.
Yeah.
Or nobody knows anything about. So there's this...
well, we have pent-up demand right now, I can tell you that.
And they're coming out with new stuff all the time. And come out with some exciting new perennial or a new hybrid plant, that kind of shifts the market a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
There's only so much space they can grow this stuff.
Understood.
So, anyway.
Finite is what we're talking about.
So anyway, what should I plan for the spring? Know when insects are getting busy.
Okay.
In other words, we have this typical cycle of bugs that come through.
Every year.
Bugs and mites
like
that come through.
Busy's in the fountain.
So you want to be ahead of the game on that. For instance, borers, for instance, will be busy pretty soon. And I've seen a lot of this in people's plants. The borers are really bad. And here in another 3 weeks or so, the sap will start running in the trees. And on your ornamental trees, you might want to consider putting some imidacloprid on there,
which is
a systemic pyrethroid. And then that'll keep the borers in check, if you will. Don't do it on your fruit trees until after fruit. But nonetheless, on your ornamental plants, you might consider getting some of that. If you have some trees that are blooming, you might want to wait till the blooms are over, just so they don't affect the bees as they come through. So anyway, that's kind of happening coming up soon. Borer activity and spring activity, and also spider mites are another issue to be concerned about. And there are several ways to control them. Typical a topical application of a pyrethrin type spray will help control those also.
There you go.
Also, know your plant requirements that you might want to do on a landscape plan. These plants have different needs as far as pH is concerned, soil type, soil depth, exposure is concerned. You kind of need to know your plant requirements too on your existing plants as well.
Yeah.
Unless you have Nandinas, they grow anywhere.
They just grow anyway, regardless.
You need to check on the quality of your soil. That's very important. The plants. Everything we sell would just grow fine over here. The main variable in the equation is the soil and drainage also. So you need to know how that's going. If you've got drainage problems, you might consider solving that. There are a lot of people with drainage problems in this town.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Because of our heavy soil and so on. And you need to know how much mulch to get. You divide the area by 12 to get 3 cubic foot bags. And that'll give you a 2 or 3 inch layer of mulch on there. So take your surface area and divide it by 12, and that'll tell you how many bags you need. And that's another thing, is to know how much bed area do I have? How much lawn area do I have? If you know these numbers, it'll help you a whole lot as far as how to and what to do on your plants.
And then pretty soon it's darn easy. It becomes habit, memory, and you're good.
Get out there with a tape.
That's what they say.
And you don't have to be precise. Just get the length by width.
Ballpark it, but you know, have the numbers right anyway.
Yeah, and kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
I fortunately have a program. I can upload a Google image.
Beep, beep.
And then you circle it around with your little mouse and tells you how many square feet you got.
There you go.
So anyway, so you can measure it, too, to find out how to do that. So.
Yeah, there you go. It is 8:53. We're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program in just a moment. A reminder, up and down the network line, this will be a three-minute timeout.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf, and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Princess Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt for many of the financial elite such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Woolerock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Woolerock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Woolerock.
K1 News Drive at 5 with Garrett Giles. Sports with Max Gross. Everything you need to know before you get home. K1, the one you trust.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. 8:57 is our time. Larry Glass, where did we last leave off?
We talked a little bit about lawns, and it's time to fertilize that fescue grass in about 2 weeks. It's not time to do Bermuda grass. Don't get slickered into fertilizing Bermuda grass.
No.
It won't use it. So if you do have fescue grass, and some people in this town have really nice-looking fescue lawns, you might want to wait a little bit, middle of February or so, to fertilize that fescue. You really don't want it to grow too much because it can still get cold at this point. And you don't want to let it grow and then set it back and all that too. So anyway, there are several ways also in the landscape when it comes to watering and things to maybe save some water in the landscape. And probably the best way is a good ground prep prior to doing that. You want your root system to be able to reach down into the soil in order to utilize the water that's down deep into the soil. And it really can't if the soil's really compacted and heavy. Because mm-hmm. when we do a landscape, we get in there and we actually take and use a shovel to break up the soil. And then follow up with a tilling. Because a lot of times our soil is just so hard and compacted that the tiller just kind of bounces around. I'm over there with a pick and a shovel, or the guys are. I've broken so many shovels. My supplier, he gave up on me and just brought a whole truckload of shovels. Here, take these. Tired of me breaking shovels. So anyway, you want to break up that soil real good and get it. Try to get those roots down really, really deep. And to keep the soil fairly loose, you might consider adding a lot of compost.
Okay.
And you divide your surface area by 10.
By 10.
We'll give you how many bags of 2 cubic feet compost to get.
Gotcha.
And work that into the soil at least 8 inches, 8 to 10 inches mm-hmm. deep, because that's where most of the root system activity is mm-hmm. down that far. And if you do have good deep roots, they can utilize the water that's down deep. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, goodness. And that'll be less time. That'll broaden the time when you can water it, and also the soil really acts as a mm-hmm. storage for water. And the more storage capacity it has, the better off this shrub is going to be.
Very good.
So ground prep is, I always say this over and over again, I've been saying it for 100 years doing this show.
Or at least 23.
Yeah, that ground preparation is very, very important uh-huh. Because the plants we eat and everybody sells will do very well here. They just have to, the main variable in the equation is the quality of the soil. Mm-hmm. And the better you can improve that, the better they're going to be.
Very good.
So anyway, there's all kinds of landscaping. There's xerographic landscape, and there's rain gardens and so on. And they all have their different needs and requirements. So keep that in mind, too.
What's going on
anyway,
at the shop?
Come by the nursery. We have some great wind chimes.
Ah, yeah.
And yesterday was a good day to sell wind chimes.
Yes, it was.
Because they put on quite a show. Yeah. A great selection of houseplants the cyclamens are into. The cyclamen is a good cool season houseplant that does very well in the house. It can tolerate drought real well. It's a very easy to grow plant. And we got all kinds of trees and shrub for which you need a good sharp shovel to plant. We'll see you next week.
Indeedy.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.